That music always fires me up, Jesse. You know it. This is the Terry and Jesse Show. We're too blessed to be stressed, too anointed to be disappointed, and if hope was money, we'd be billionaires. We're reporting for duty. And today's show, I just want to give a shout-out to Pastor Pilarski. He's the Polish pastor up in Canada who got arrested for keeping his church open. We're going to have him on Wednesday for the whole hour, so keep that in mind. Also, this article regarding the world population and how it's sweeping in the sense of ramifications, in the sense of negative. Like, most countries in the world right now are having negative growth, and so that can't continue. If it does, well, it's going to be devastating to our future kids. So we want to talk about that. Also, my favorite topic of today is the healing power of prayer. You know, we always tell people, hey, listen, the power of prayer, have a relationship with Jesus Christ and the sacraments, you'll be happier, your depression will be less, suicide less, alcohol, all these things. Well, there's a doctor, sounds like he's Jewish because it says Dr. Harold Koenig is going to tell us the results of a study on people who pray versus non-religious people and who's happier. That's going to be a good show there too. Jesse, I think is, Jesse,
yeah,
are you there?
I'm on duty,
I don't,
Terry.
Oh, good. I don't see you, brother, but
yeah,
I.
Yeah, just have Richard Skype me.
Okay.
But, yeah, I'm
okay.
On duty.
Good, Jess. I just set the stage before we, and also, Jesse, I have good news story. I'll just give a teaser one. Jesse, we're pushing back. Even the young people at Notre Dame sent thousands of letters to their president of Notre Dame saying, we don't want Joe Biden to speak at Notre Dame because of his radical abortion activity. Praise God for those young people. You know, I'm happy that they're doing that. And I got more good news stories. It's showing that people like us, we Catholics, are pushing back. But before we get to any of those topics, the best thing we do is when Jesse opens up his Bible and reads the reading from today's Mass, and then he gets to give us what they call an exegesis. How does it apply to us? So, Jess, could you give us some soul food, brother?
There you go. Mark chapter 10, verses 46 to 52. Speak, Lord, your servants are listening. As Jesus was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a sizable crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind man, the son of Timaeus, sat by the roadside begging. On hearing that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have pity on me. By the way, the word pity is the same word in Hebrew as mercy. It means the same thing, pity and mercy. And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he kept calling out all the more, Son of David, have pity on me. Why is he calling Jesus Son of David? Because our Lord Jesus Christ in his humanity comes from the descendants or the ancestry of King David and the lines of the kings. It says, Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they call the blind man, saying to him, take courage, get up, Jesus is calling you. He threw aside his cloak, sprang up, and came to Jesus. Jesus said to him in reply, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man replied to him, Master, I want to see. Jesus told him, go your way, your faith has saved you. Immediately he received his sight and followed him on the way. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Jesse, let me just jump in. One thing you said, you quoted, your faith has saved you. You notice it didn't say the government has saved you?
Okay. Mm.
Go ahead, Jesse. I'm all ears. I want
great insight, because a lot of people think today that the government is the savior.
Exactly.
Yeah. So here our Lord is talking. He's going to Jericho. Jericho is about 6 miles north of the Dead Sea in the Jordan Valley, and Jesus briefly stayed in that city, and he spent his time with Zacchaeus. But why is this blind man calling him Bartimaeus? This blind man calling him Son of David. Okay, why? Because he's acknowledging him to be the Messiah. Because the Son of David, or the Messiah, was, according to the Jews, he was expected to be a descendant of the great King David and the rightful heir to the throne of Jerusalem. This was foretold by the prophets, Isaiah chapter 9, 7, Ezekiel 34, 23. And so many hoped that he would possess the power, the Messiah, to heal the sick and to exorcise demons. And guess what? That's, in fact, the power that Jesus Christ did possess,
yep.
What they expected the Messiah to possess. But much like the original son of David, who was actually King Solomon, the Bible tells us in Wisdom chapter 7, verse 20, he was actually an exorcist, King Solomon. But hear the confession of Bartimaeus, this blind man. It's kind of ironic. I'll tell you why. Because the blind man sees Jesus' messianic identity more clearly than most of the people in Mark's gospel that have two eyeballs.
Yep.
And St. Bede, the venerable, St. Bede, his commentary on this passage, he says this.
Tell me.
Bartimaeus signifies the Gentile nations, that's us, saved by Christ. Jesus bids them to rise up from their spiritual blindness, us, the Gentile nations, and throw aside the mantle of our sinful habits and follow him down the road to glory and to heaven.
Amen.
Amen. Thanks be to God. Yep.
Wow. Jesse, that's good stuff. I just want to say that each day Jesse does this, this is something you might want to just share with your friends and family. So keep that in mind. Let's bring the smartest guy into the room, Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen. Oh, he's stuck. He can't bring in the train, but that's all right. What Bishop Sheen says, and I'll just say full Sheen ahead every time, this is apropos because of the topic we're going to be talking about with people who have faith and people who don't have faith and who are happier. Here's what Bishop Sheen says. Whenever a professor attacks morality and makes fun of religion before his pupils, you can be sure 9 times out of 10 that his life is rotten. And Jesse, I know you've experienced that in college too. You've had your boys have experienced attacks on their faith, and this is not uncommon. But just remember, most of those people who are attacking the Catholic faith, they're not very happy people because life is all about me, myself, and I. So I would just say, Bishop Sheen, you're spot on. Hey, Jess, one more quick note. The men's conference is coming up really quick here on the 13th of June, and you're going to be speaking along with Eddie Chavez, and we've got a special presentation via the internet with Bishop Joseph Strickland. But I'm fired up about the topic. You gave a teaser the other day about you're going to hit men like where the biggest problem we have is below the belt. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what you're going to talk about?
That's exactly where Satan's attacking us.
Yeah,
he's attacking priests there.
Yep.
He's attacking bishops there.
Yep.
He's attacking cardinals there. He's attacking politicians there. This is the oldest strategy of Satan.
Oh, yeah.
Below the waist.
Yeah.
This has been going. He doesn't change it, Terry, because he doesn't have to.
Nope.
Because this is called our lower faculties. This is the easiest thing for him to basically to trigger and to stimulate. And so I'm going to share some stories from the Bible. Mm-hmm. God's word. I mean, St. John Chrysostom says, you know what? There's nothing else out there. No book, no Pope's writing that comes close to God's word. So I'm going to give you stories from the Bible. David and Bathsheba, Samson and Delilah, David and Goliath.
Wow.
And share with you, I mean, these guys were some of the toughest guys in the world. So if you guys, we're not talking about Pee Wee Herman here. We're talking about King David, the greatest warrior that ever lived. There's no greater fighter than David, not the gladiator, not King Leonidas, not Troy. And then you got Samson, Terry, the strongest human being that ever lived on planet Earth.
Right.
And these guys were taken down below the waist.
Yep.
So I'm going to give practical spiritual direction and guidance from these stories on how we can shore up our intellect, strengthen our will, and master our lower appetites.
That's awesome. You know, Jesse, we hit it again on August 17th. Dr. Sandoval is going to take a day where he's going to be speaking on the Catholic approach to sexuality and psychology in our Catholic faith. It's going to be an outstanding presentation on that day. So
Terry, a lot of it simply is just taking custody of your eyes.
Of course.
That's like 90% of the battle.
Yeah, see, well, we have 320 million or 330 million people in America. We have 110 million with sexually transmitted diseases. We spend $16 billion a year taking care of people who have been fooling around and not living a chaste life. You think we got a problem? That's why it's important that women, I want to ask you to go to vmpr.org, sign your husband up for this men's conference. So many times, Jesse, it's where women have signed their husbands up and it changed the whole relationship with their marriage and their family life, because the dad finally got challenged by some men to man up and live his Catholic faith and not, you know, step out and let mom do everything.
That's right.
And I think it's important that they can go and register their husband by going to vmpr.org or call 877-526-2151. Jesse, our system seized up, so we got about a minute and a half before the break.
Let me make an announcement here. On June 5th, I'm going to be in Bakersfield.
Good.
At the Gardens at Mill Creek.
Oh, yeah.
I'm being invited by the Catholic Men's Fellowship, but it's going to be a talk for men and women.
Excellent.
It's going to be Saturday, June 5th, 2:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. at the Gardens at Mill Creek in Bakersfield. Also this Sunday, June 6th, that's next week, Bishop Olmsted is going to do a Eucharistic procession around the streets of downtown Phoenix. He wants to see all the men there. Terry.
30 seconds?
Yeah. Again, Bishop Olmsted, June 6th, is going to be having a Eucharistic procession downtown Phoenix. He'd like to see all the men there. June 5th, I'm going to be at Bakersfield at the Gardens at Mill Creek giving a talk to men and women.
Awesome.
On spiritual warfare. Terry.
Awesome. I just was told by the engineer we're still having problems. We're not going to take our usual break, so let's just go right into our topic, which is, cut off. Okay, we are going to take a break. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show, live on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Our topic, Jesse, first of all, tell us as a teaser again about the pastor from Canada. He's going to be our guest for a whole hour on Wednesday, Arthur Perolsky. Tell us a little bit about the story with him and then tease us for next Wednesday.
Well, he's a Polish-Canadian Protestant minister, and he's known as a street preacher. He's the pastor of the Cave of Abdullam Congregation in Calgary, and he also led another denomination before that called the King's Glory Fellowship. He's very well known as the pastor of street church ministries, where he engages in open-air preaching and Christian street outreach. Terry, he's a fellow traveler in the sense that he's on the right side of the issues when
Amen,
it comes
brother.
Against the culture of death. And so, once again, he was arrested for committing the crime of what? Here's a crime.
Yeah, here it is.
Drum roll, please. He was holding a church service. Wow.
Yeah, he wouldn't close his doors because of the COVID-19. And when I spoke to him yesterday, Jesse, I said, I have something in common. We both got arrested, but he got beat up a lot more than I did. I was treated with...
It looks like he got tuned up a little bit. He'll probably talk about that.
He's going to talk all about that because that was incredible what went on with him. So keep us tuned in next Wednesday.
Terry, here's what's sad. Just let's be honest. The left has weaponized medicine against us. And
of course.
At this point, I don't really trust the government, CDC, or the World Health Organization. That's just my opinion.
I couldn't agree more with you, Jesse. This is no question about it. All right, well, let's move on to our long slide looms for world population with sweeping ramifications. In other words, fewer baby cries.
We're talking about the healing power of prayer right now.
I'm sorry. That's later then.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry,
yeah,
Jess. I mixed it up.
That's what we replace it with,
Healing power of prayer. Jesse's absolutely right. Let's talk about this article because this was done years ago. We've done a show on this, and it just came back out
it's
the blaze.
It's good to do this over and over and over again. It really is.
All right, well, let's talk about the Bible.
Jeremiah 17:14, it says, quote, "Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for you are my praise," close quote.
Amen.
The Bible is filled with references about the healing power of prayer.
That's right.
And today you're having scientists and researchers, they're proving that people who believe in a higher power, we call that God, they're indeed healthier mentally, emotionally, and physically.
Yep.
Plus, studies have shown that people of faith live longer.
That's a fact.
And in fact, one nationwide study from the Ohio State University found that people who have religious affiliations live nearly 4 years longer than those that had no ties to religion.
Yep.
There's a Jewish professor, Dr. Harold Koenig. He's a professor of psychiatry and behavioral sciences and the associate professor of medicine at Duke University. In an interview at Newsmax, he said the following, quote, studies prove prayer can prevent people from getting sick. And when they do get sick, prayer can help them get better faster. Dr. Conant added that an exhaustive analysis of 1,500 medical studies indicated that people who are more religious and pray more have better health.
Just the facts.
Yeah, and there's some other opening statistics examining the role of faith in common conditions, according to Dr. Koenig. Terry, you want to share those?
I do, man. It's powerful, Jesse. Number one, he says depression. This is the most common emotional disorder in the world, worldwide, especially among medical patients. Religious involvement is linked to a 61% less depression and faster recovery from depression. You see how our faith is just one after another. These are all these bullets. I'll give one more.
Before you give the next bullet, let me explain why that is. When you pray, what it does, there's chemicals that are released in the brain after 15 minutes of prayer.
Yep.
And it releases an antidepressant from the brain what floods your body. So there's a science behind this. Next bullet.
What about the rosary? That's about 15 minutes, isn't it, Jess?
Yep. Coincidence.
I know, I'm joking. Next one. Suicide. What? We got that going on with COVID-19. It's outrageous. I'm in right now at our chapel. We have a funeral going on, but suicide is so often, unfortunately, happening. Among the religiously involved, are you ready? 75% of the studies found there are fewer suicides and more negative attitudes towards suicide in that population. So again, another benefit of having your faith in God, less suicides. How about
Yeah, let me give you the theology behind that, because sure. People of faith have what's called the virtue of hope.
Yeah.
What is hope? It's basically we believe in the promises of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, mm-hmm. and we stake our life on it.
Yep.
A secular humanist or an atheist, they believe that their body is just, you know, protoplasm and cells that are just slammed together that has no meaning in the afterlife. When you just die, you just kind of like you vanish or disintegrate like just like putty. And so for them, suicide oftentimes is just a solution. They're saying, well, if I'm going to die and I'm going to go into nothingness and vanish, well, why not just expedite that?
Yeah, well said. And, you know, I think of a quote from Joan of Arc, St. Joan of Arc. Here she's getting ready to be killed, right? Executed. And she says, one life is all we have, and we live it as we believe in it and live it. But to sacrifice what you are and to live without belief, that is a fate more terrible than dying.
Mm.
Isn't that a powerful quote for suicide?
Wow.
Give me a break. All right, Jess, let's get to the
next bullet. Alcohol use and drug dependence. Oh, yeah. A full 86% of those who are religiously involved do not use drugs or alcohol, and 84% are less likely to use illicit drugs. The only alcohol that I use is when the wine becomes the blood of Jesus Christ, and it just has the appearance of wine at this point. It is now the full blood of Jesus Christ. That's my salvation right there.
Amen. And you know, when Jesse and I say we're too blessed to be stressed, we're too anointed to be disappointed, and if hope was money, we'd be billionaires. People say this all the time to me, and I know Jesse gets this. Man, you guys are always pumped up about the faith. You're always pumped up about life, and you guys have an attitude of gratitude that's welcome just about everywhere. Well, well-being and happiness. In 70% of the studies, religious involvement is related to a better all-around feeling of wellness. Now, that's and they talk about exercise and all these other issues that help you have that attitude of gratitude. But our faith in Jesus Christ is what motivates me to put that smile on my face, Jess.
Yeah, the reason is because your faith gives you a joy which is interior.
Yeah.
And when you do things outside, like throw a frisbee, play baseball, swim, that gives you happiness. That's exterior.
That's right.
But the interior happiness, which we typically call joy, you could be in a jail cell like St. Paul with stripped of everything and still have more joy than all of the jailers and everybody there in pagan Rome, because his is an interior relationship with God, and he knows where he's going, and he knows how it all ends.
And Jesse, a good example of that is St. Maximilian Kolbe in 1941 in a concentration camp. He had the men singing songs to Jesus and to Our Lady in the where he was dying, and also... Yeah. What was beautiful about it is they starved him to death. So you can imagine how tough that was. And then after all of that, they're all upset that he's got these guys praising God at the end of their life. They said, let's give him carbolic acid and kill him off because this is too much. We don't want him to have any, you know, smile on his face and joy. We got to kill him. But that's what happens when you have faith.
His joy caused them pain.
Exactly, Jesse.
They may have freedom and power and authority, but they had no joy, Terry.
Well said.
Now, yeah. Next one. Yeah. Exercise, weight, and risky behaviors. Having a firm belief in religion correlated to 68% of people who exercise more and more and are physically active. They also engage in less extramarital sex and have safer sexual practices. The bottom line is the body and the soul are connected.
That's right.
And you know that our Lord Jesus Christ was in shape physically. He worked with his hands.
Yep.
He was a carpenter. He worked with hard materials. And he did three walks a year, which were 100 miles one way to Jerusalem from Nazareth. He walked 600 miles a year because he did it three times.
Wow.
So he was in good shape, and he worked with heavy stuff. The Blessed Virgin Mary also, Steve Ray showed me, she walked about 1.2 miles every morning to go get water down a hill and back up a hill, and she carried water over her shoulder. So she was a very strong lady herself. Goes to show you the importance of exercise.
And Jesse, we've asked our people always at least 45 minutes every day. If you can't do it every day, 5 days a week of just walking with your wife or with your son or your dog. I talk to people a lot when they say, I just don't have the energy. And I say, well, what do you do? I sit in my chair and watch TV when I come home from work. No, this is what is expected. And you know what? Even praying a rosary while you're walking, do the spiritual exercises and physical at the same time. All right, well, your spiritual fitness trainers is just pointing out that Mr. Dr. Harold Koenig has a lot of common sense. Let's get to the next one, Jess.
Cardiovascular functions. Religious people have 50% lower blood pressure, 63% better cardio health, and 63% less coronary artery disease. Next one, immune and endocrine functions.
This is important.
A full 56% of those who have religious affiliations enjoy stronger immune functions, and a whopping 74% have better endocrine functions. Next one, mortality. Religious involvement is related to greater longevity overall. On the flip side, lack of faith has negative consequences. As religious involvement declines in America, the result of the increasing secularization, crime rates, alcohol, and drug abuse and addiction are increasing, says Dr. Koenig. Dr. Koenig says that the brain and higher cortical processes are directly connected through the nervous system to the major physiological healing systems, the immune, the endocrine, and cardiovascular systems. This connection allows how we think affect our physiological well-being. Dr. Koenig, author of Spirituality and Patient Care, urges doctors to take a spiritual history of their patients and have a conversation about these issues. Here's his parting words. He says, quote, Dr. Koenig, I think physicians should identify the spiritual needs of the patients and ensure that someone meets these needs. They may even pray with the patient if requested and work with the faith community with the patient's consent.
You know, Jesse, maybe we need a different approach to evangelize the secular world.
Well, this is a good approach.
I know it is. And let me just mention this. Because of COVID-19 and people were being scared to death that everybody was going to die if they got COVID-19, which is less than 1% of the population have died. But they scared them enough to put masks on, not to go out to do your normal exercises, anything. Just stay at home, stay in place. And I think about this, if the people knew that living their Catholic faith would give them a little bit more years of life on planet Earth, but more importantly, life eternal, I think that they're scared to death that this life is all they have. I just think there's a lack of faith to realize that life is short and eternity is forever. So I'm just pointing out that living your Catholic faith should give you the strength to say, I'm not going to trust the doctors or the COVID-19 experts. I'm going to trust in Jesus Christ and my bride, the church, to give me the sacraments that are going to feed me. And if I die early, you know what,
exactly.
Jess? Get over it. Have some Gregorian masses offered for me. I'm not here forever, bro. And I want to be with Jesus Christ for all eternity. That's my goal, and I hope it's your goal and everyone else's goal.
Yeah, don't put your trust in the jab. The jab is not a sacrament, but put your trust in Jesus.
Amen, brother.
The Eucharist is what saves us, not the jab. We are physically, our bodies and our souls are connected, and what you do with your soul affects your body.
And I want to just encourage people. It was on Newsmax Health. That's where we got this article. But if you just type in the healing power of prayer, with people.
They can get it from our show page.
They can get it from the show page. Good. Yeah. And the reason I say this, Jesse, is this is really the facts. This is not even, you know, having faith.
It's not open to debate.
No, it's a fact. And living a Catholic faith, living a spiritual life, putting your trust in God is really important for a happy and long life.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Are not reproducing enough to continue on with people that die to replace them. So what's that going to do? Well, obviously, it's going to really destroy not just economies, but family life, because there won't be any family life. So the title of this is Long Slide Looms for World Population with Sweeping Ramifications. You know, fewer babies cries, more abandoned homes toward the middle of this century as deaths start to exceed births, and the change will be a really hard thing to deal with. Just all over the world, countries are confronting population
stagnation
and fertility bust. And why don't you share a little bit of what they're saying, because this is affecting the world, not just us.
Terry, and the description of this article is called a demographic winter.
Yeah.
And what that means, a demographic winter is a term that's used in sociology that means a worldwide decline in birth rates. And the article goes into why that's happening. So it says, so there's a countries are confronting population stagnation and a fertility bust, a dizzying reversal unmatched in recorded history that will make first birthday parties a rarer sight than funerals.
That's for sure.
And empty homes a common eyesore. Maternity wards are already shutting down in Italy. Ghost cities are appearing in northeastern China.
Yep.
Universities in South Korea can't find enough students. And in Germany, hundreds of thousands of properties have been razed. That means destroyed. With the land turned into parks. And like an avalanche, the demographic forces, which here's my opinion, that's not the article, comes from the Antichrist, okay?
Yep.
I believe the spirit of the Antichrist is behind all this. Pushing towards more deaths than births seems to be expanding and accelerating. Though some countries continue to see their populations grow, especially in Africa, fertility rates are falling nearly everywhere elsewhere. By the way, here's my comment. This is why Bill Gates is always trying to send vaccines to Africa.
Yep.
Because they're the only country that's populating,
yep.
And he wants to kill them.
Yeah, he does.
And that's why he's not even allowed in some countries out there. The article, demographers now predict that by the latter half of the century, or possibly earlier, the global population will enter a sustained decline for the first time. By the way, this plays right into the hands of Satan, because what's God all about? Life. What's Satan all about?
Yes,
death.
Exactly.
John chapter 10, verse 10. It's simple. What did God say to Adam and then to Noah? Be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful. What does the devil want? He wants kill, abort, contracept, and commit suicide. That's what he's all about.
And Jesse, just to interrupt you, but what you're saying is absolutely right. When you said contraception, the world has forgotten the reason they're on planet Earth. It's not about me, myself, and I. And that's what happens when you see these articles in Time magazine and elsewhere. They have a young couple at the beach having a drink, and they say, what happened to the baby? And they go, well, we don't want a baby. We couldn't do all the fun things we want to do. That's the mentality of selfishness in our culture all the way around the world.
You see many young people today
walking
around with just a bunch of dogs and cats all over the street.
I see it all the time.
They walk them, and no more baby carriages, Terry. It's they're walking their cats and dogs.
Yeah.
So the article says, a planet with fewer people could ease pressure on resources, slow the destructive impact of climate change, and reduce household burdens for women. Yeah. But the census announcements this month from China and the U.S., which showed the slowest rates of population growth in decades for both countries, also point to hard-to-fathom adjustments. And the reason, this is my comment, contraception and abortion.
Of course.
It says the strain of longer lives and low fertility leads to fewer workers and more retirees, threatens to upend how societies are organized around the notion that a surplus of young people will drive economies and help pay for the old.
Yep.
It may also require a reconceptualization of family and nation. Imagine entire regions where everyone is 70 or older.
It's happening. Imagine
governments laying out huge bonuses for immigrants and mothers with lots of children. Imagine a gig economy filled with grandparents and Super Bowl ads promoting procreation. A paradigm shift is necessary, says Frank Suyami. He's a German demographer who was the chief of the population trends and analysis for the United Nations until last year. He said this, quote, countries need to learn to live with and adapt to decline. So this guy's a depopulation eugenicist.
Oh, big time. Terry. Get used to it. Yeah.
Yeah, get used to it. This is who runs the United Nations, Terry. These depopulation nuts.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, Jesse, one more thing about expected mothers in many areas can no longer find obstetricians or postnatal care centers. Universities below the elite level, especially in Seoul, Korea, find it increasingly hard to fill their ranks. The number, check this out, this just blew me away. The number of 18-year-olds in South Korea have fallen from around 900,000 just in 1992 to today, 500,000. So 400,000 less 18-year-olds. So, you know, to attract students, some schools have offered scholarships. They even offer iPhones, kind of like what people are offering to get the jab. You know, we'll give you a bonus if you just go in and get a jab. No, but you know what, Jesse?
Terry, you know what? The jab is a sacrament to the left.
Oh, there you go.
I mean, that's the best way I can put it.
Yeah, because that's their salvation, right?
Yes, that's why I'm getting it. Their medicine of immortality. It's an anti-Eucharist, this whole jab. The way it's a religious object to them. But go ahead.
And Jesse, you mentioned yesterday about Russia and Putin giving bonuses for families to have more children.
Yeah.
This is happening in Hungary and other countries because let's face it, let's be honest about it. Can you imagine living? Now, our kids are going to see this. Jesse and myself will probably be dead by that time.
Good riddance.
I'm sorry. But the point of it is, try and sell a house when nobody's there to buy it. Try to sell a pair of shoes when there's nobody to wear the shoes because the numbers have gone down. This is going to what we're doing is we're committing suicide worldwide by not having children because without children there's no life. And here's the bottom line. You touched on it earlier, Jess, when you said contraception. The Catholic Church has the answer to this world crisis. Live a biblical worldview on your life and have children, and God provides. And this is something that takes faith. And if you don't have faith, you're going to say, I'm not going to have a child. Jesse, I can't drive a new car. I can't have my vacations if I'm spending my money on children. But you know what, Jesse, what I've noticed? The happiest people, again, that survey we talked about earlier today, people with children, many children, check out how happy they are, especially when they start being grandparents.
Amen. Terry, and I'll tell you why this has happened.
Tell me, Jess.
Also, this is what's happened.
Hit me.
Not only the sexual revolution that came from Satan
and
all the 60s and 70s culture of death, ideology came in, but also, Terry, there's an old saying, it goes, a holy bishop gives us holy priests give us holy parishes.
That's right.
Now, I'm just saying, and this is not a secret. Since 2002, we've discovered that many, many of our cardinals, bishops, and priests do not live chaste lives.
Right.
So guess what? If these are the teachers, governors, and sanctifiers of the flock, is it a wonder that many Catholics don't live chaste lives? They're only going to emulate the teachings and the practice of their spiritual fathers, and there's very few spiritual fathers these days that you can see that are living according to the teachings of the church. Every single day, another shoe falls off the foot with another bishop, another priest, another cardinal. And I'm telling you, they're as much affected by the sexual perversion, sexual revolution as lay people are.
Well said, Jesse. And that's why here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio, much of our programming is catechetical in nature to teach people the faith. For example, Bishop Joseph Strickland, I think the best bishop in the entire country, is reading from the Catechism of the Catholic Church. He's talking about the cultural issues. He's the only bishop that supported Father Jim regarding his statements on his faith. And so Bishop Strickland is doing that. And let me just give some people some encouragement on this topic of standing up for your faith. The Notre Dame students were right when they rejected Joe Biden's, he's a radical abortion activist. They 4,000 or 5,000 students sent a letter to the president, Father Reverend John Jenkins, to say don't invite the president. And I think about that. That shows me that those kids know their faith, to know that abortion is murder and we shouldn't be participating in any way. Another good story, Jesse, and you'll like this. This is out in Lebanon, Ohio, at a city council member. She resigned. Do you know why? Because all the other members were pro-life, and the pro-life council voted to ban all abortions in the city of Lebanon, Ohio. And so she said, I'm out of here. You see, what it's called pushback, Jesse, and we're finally doing some pushback on this, and we want to encourage our listeners to push back. Here's another good story. 36 states now have pushed back regarding abortion laws to stop infanticide and protecting babies who survive abortion. We got to keep the pressure on, Jesse. We can't just sit back and say, oh, I'm just going to pray that we do this. Yeah, prayer and action go together. Like, for example, tonight, Jesse, you talked about the 2002 clergy here at our Virgin Most Powerful headquarters at the Sacred Heart Chapel from 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock. Come and join me. I'll be on my knees praying before the Blessed Sacrament for the Pope, the bishops, and priests. We do that every Thursday night. Why? Well, because they need our prayers. We need holy priests, as Jesse said. Holy priests, holy people.
That's right. Terry, and isn't it interesting that these same people that want to depopulate planet Earth,
these are the same people
who are rabid pro-aborts.
That's right.
These are the same people
who
are asking us to get the jab.
Yep.
These are the same people that want to destroy the family as the patriarchal family. Terry, they're all eugenicists.
Exactly. You nailed it. Yes.
Yeah, they're all eugenicists. These people have this death wish. Again, God is all about life and eternal life. But when you look at all these people that are involved in this, Terry, they're all people that were, again, they fund Planned Parenthood. Many of them were pioneers of the abortion movement. And I'll tell you what's very sad, that these people, Terry, are probably the most influential people in politics today, because, again, there are a lot of these billionaires that fund this depopulation nonsense.
You got it. We got to take a quick break. We'll come right back. And, man, I'm fired up about this topic, Jesse. We need to educate people with the faith, and that's what we do here at Virgin Most Powerful. We'll be back in a quick minute. Stay with us.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. We're talking about the world population, how it's going down. And it's interesting, Nigeria will probably be the most populated country in the world by 2100, the way demographics are going. And Jesse's been making the point that our Catholic faith is really the answer that people need to have, because we're living a life that's centered around me, myself, and I as a culture, not only in America, but worldwide. Countries like Mexico, Jesse, where your family's from, you have lineage there, and you know they used to have big families. Now in Mexico, they're not having big families. Even in India, same thing as China.
Planned Parenthood is all over Mexico.
Exactly.
They've targeted.
They've done a great job killing off the future citizens of Mexico.
Yep, and I'll tell you, Terry, when you look at how many people there are on the planet, scientists have shown this with computers, that 80%, get this, 80% of people on Earth live on 3% of Earth's landmass. I'm going to repeat that again.
Yeah, that's important to know.
80% of people on Earth live on 3% of Earth's landmass.
Yeah.
It's pure propaganda that we are overpopulated. They've been beating that drum for a long time. That's how they're able to promote their global climate change and global warming and their new Green Deal. In fact, Steve Mosher says that human beings actually occupy no more than 1-3% of Earth's land space. Did you catch that?
Of course.
And Steve Mosher writes, if you allotted 1,250 square feet to each person, all the people in the world would fit into the state of Texas.
That's right.
Is this microphone on?
Yeah. Now, Jesse, you nailed it. And Ignatius Press has a book out on the population myth and gives all the statistics that you're just giving. And so if you type in the population myth at ignatiuspress.com, you can get that book because I read it years ago. And this has been shoved down our throats, Jesse, since the 1960s. They've been telling
us. Yeah, this lie.
Yeah.
Pure propaganda. And you know what, Terry, what the Virgin Most Powerful, especially this show, what we're known for, we probably should call our show The Emperor Has No Clothes Show.
Exactly.
Because that's what we do every day. We expose lies and then give the truth. We expose stories of the propaganda media, then we give you the truth. This show, I don't know, I think it should be called The Emperor Has No Clothes.
I like that.
Yeah. Let me just mention that on June 5th here, I'm going to be at giving a presentation. Thank you, sir. For the Catholic Men's Fellowship in Bakersfield, it's going to be at the Gardens at Mill Creek. Starts at 2:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. It's for everybody, male and female. But it's hosted by the Catholic Men's Fellowship, but it's for everybody at the Gardens at Mill Creek, Bakersfield, California, June 5th, Saturday, 2:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. Also June 6th, for all you men here in Phoenix, Bishop Olmsted is having a procession around the streets of downtown Phoenix. From 6 a.m.
Awesome.
to 8 a.m., he wants to see all men there. Terry, go ahead.
Yeah, see, I just want to make one other comment and as we close here today. You know, the media and social media has been very bad to us in the sense that we tell people the truth and then we're taken off. For example, when Bishop Strickland was talking about the Sixth Commandment, YouTube said that offended their listeners. Strike one. We can't have that. But Facebook just came out and said now they're not going to take anybody off if you say that the Wuhan flu virus came from China. Because now, it's interesting, a year ago when we would say that, Jesse, they said, oh, no, you can't say that. Well, now it's changed. So they have a policy change on Facebook. You can say it now because all indications show that that's exactly right. But here's an example.
Yeah, Trump was saying that a year ago.
A year ago, but because it's Trump...
Yes.
Anything that man says, it can't be true for them. Yeah, that's pretty sad that we're up against that. And that's why I want to encourage people to use alternative means to communicate with people, use conservative platforms rather than going to these people. And I'm just going to make that suggestion because we have to push back. I gave you three stories of good people of goodwill pushing back on the pro-life efforts. We have to push back, whether it's in our politics, whether it's our Catholic faith, anything at the school districts, speak up. Because if that's the only way they're going to get a change is by people. And I love that quote from one, Jesse, you use this quote all the time from one of the popes, Pope Leo, Pope Felix III, back in the 7th century. I don't have it in front of me. But basically he says what he says is this. And I got it right here. I can pull it out real quickly. I think Jesse probably has it quicker than I have. You have it faster than me.
Yeah, it's in my computer here.
Oh, okay. I can look. Well, I have it right here too, but my papers are all... Oh, here it is. Okay, he says this, not to oppose error is to approve it. So we can't stand for killing unborn babies. We have to oppose it. Not to defend truth is to suppress it. And indeed, neglect to confound evil men when we can do it is no less a sin than to encourage them. That's what we're encouraging you to do. The emperor has no clothes on. We have to speak up. I mean, that little boy, 7 years old, can tell. But nobody else wants to say it? Why? And I'll tell you why nobody wants to say that a lot of the things that are going into cancel culture is because they're afraid. And you know what I want to tell everybody? Be not afraid. The Bible says it, 365 times? Don't be afraid. So let's not be afraid, and let's tell the truth in charity and clarity.
That's right.
Okay,
Terry, there's somebody who listens to us. Her name's Trudy. I won't mention her last name, but she wrote a very inspirational letter to us.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it's worth sharing with everybody here.
Share it, brother.
Here.
I know. Yeah. Okay, go for it.
Yeah, so she listens to the Terry and Jesse Show, and she listens to Jesus 911.
Good.
She says, I thought you'd be interested in this story with your background in law enforcement. So here she says, we live in Orange County, California. On May 1st, 2021, we had a break-in and robbery in our home around 8:45 p.m. Three men broke our master bedroom window and locked the master door from the inside. We interrupted the robbery about 3 minutes or so after they started. We pieced everything together from our video cameras afterward. We were confused because our house alarm did not go off. So my husband picked the master bedroom lock and entered with his gun. The men had just escaped through the bedroom window that was broken with their crowbar. Thanks be to God they did not confront us. Our safe was about three quarters of the way open. The drawers in the bedroom and the bath were open all in about the 3 to 5 minutes that they were inside.
Wow.
The fourth man was in the car down the street waiting for the other three. They actually ran through our backyard and the neighbor's backyard and drove away in the car waiting for them. For some reason, the police were detained that night elsewhere, and we had to wait about 2.5 hours for the police to show up in our house.
Unbelievable.
But here's my praise report. Our master bedroom practically looks like a church. We have pictures and statues of our Blessed Mother, St. Joseph, Divine Mercy Jesus, Sacred Heart, Padre Pio, etc. We blessed our house with holy water, blessed salt, and as Father Chris Allah recommended, we put a blessed picture of the Divine Mercy at the front door window.
Yeah.
These criminals did not harm me or my husband, did not get any of our possessions except two things. To our surprise, the crooks took my combat rosary from the Father Heilman's Grace Force store.
Yes.
And they took my picks that I receive my low gluten communion in.
Mm-hmm.
She says, I have celiac disease.
Yes.
So the next day at Holy Mass, as I was looking at the crucifix over the altar and thanking Jesus for his protection over us and his gift of salvation, the thought occurred to me that Jesus and Mary sacrificed in a different way for us, in protecting our property and lives, but in some way gave of themselves to these thieves by way of allowing them to take the rosary and a pyx.
Yep.
So my prayer is for the conversion and salvation of these bad guys and to turn away from their life of crime, and also that those sacred and holy objects would get in the hands of holy men and women. Praise be to God for his loving care and protection over us and our house. We are eternally grateful to the Most High God.
Hey, what an attitude of gratitude, Jesse.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, with Corpus Christi's feast coming up, lots of parishes are doing Eucharistic processions. I love that. We have a local one here at St. Joseph's in La Puente on the 6th at 5 p.m. Check it out, because this is where we take Jesus out into the streets, and this is exactly what we need to do, not hiding behind our doors in the church. We need to bring Jesus out. And I'll tell you, Jesse, just last night at 9:30, I get calls periodically, as you do. A non-Catholic called because of Catholic Resource Center, and she had questions about the Catholic faith. And she said, I can't believe you're answering my questions at 9:30 at night. And I said, well, you know why? Because I want you to know Jesus Christ. And I said, I'm willing to send you Bishop Sheen's Life is Worth Living. I turned her on to our Virgin Most Powerful. She might be listening right now. Because people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And that's what we do here at Virgin Most Powerful. And I want to thank all the people who have been supporting us to do this work. I know Jesse, at midnight, he's emailing people about apologetics. I know that because I know his style. I'm in bed at midnight. But this guy works late at night answering questions on the faith. And this is what you support here at Virgin Most Powerful. We're not here for an 8-to-5 job. We work 24/7, and we're happy to do it. Not to brag about it. We say, God's given us only so many breaths of air. Am I right, Jess?
That's right. That's right. And Terry, this caller also, the one that wrote, she goes, by the way, thank you for VMPR Radio.
Yep.
All the hosts teach us so much about our Catholic faith. I'm a faithful listener and donor.
God bless her.
And here's another, Terry, we should say, pray for this priest. Somebody else, another listener, sent it to our forum page. She said, Father Jim Parker, pastor of Holy Cross Catholic Church in Batavia, Illinois.
I know him well.
Was removed as pastor.
Yep.
He was given no further assignments, no longer able to live in a rectory. Why? He prayed for Father Altman at his mass on 5/24, and he was pulled by Bishop David Malloy in 5/25. Father Parker is being persecuted. Let's pray for him in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for Father Jim Parker now and at the hour of his death. Amen. Virgin Most Powerful, pray for him. St. Joseph, Terror Demons, pray for him. St. John Vianney, pray for him. May all the angels of God pray for Father Jim Parker. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Terry.
Did you hear? Okay, one more thing. I had a long chat with Father Jim Parker yesterday. I'm putting him in touch with Bishop Strickland, and hopefully that will help. But this is what's going on right now. It's in a crazy world that we're living in, but thank God we've got bishops like Bishop Strickland who are willing to help these guys. Hey, Jess, they just told me that with our computer, they're going to reboot everything, so this next show that comes up, folks, wait about 5 minutes and it'll come on. My engineer told me that. How many minutes do we have left, Mr. Engineer? 30 seconds. Well, all I can say is if people want to support us, go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call us at 877-526-2151. We've been at it for 40-some years. We're not going to stop until God calls us home, and you'll know that about 5 minutes after I'm not breathing. Then you can count on me being gone. May God richly bless you and your family, and full sheen ahead here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. God love you.